Alzheimer's disease is an irreversible, progressive brain disorder that slowly destroys memory and thinking skills, and eventually the ability to carry out the simplest tasks. In most people with Alzheimer's, symptoms first appear in their mid-70s. Estimates vary, but experts suggest that more than 5 million Americans may have Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's Orange County is Orange County's Center for Alzheimer's Resources. You're listening to Collage, a public affairs show on jazz88.5.org. I'm Dawn Camber. Our guests are from Alzheimer's Orange County. We have Advocacy and Outreach Vice President Patty Mouton, Memories in the Making Coordinator Ben Allen, and South County Adult Day Services Program Director Julie Schock. Well, Patty, please explain what Alzheimer's disease is.
Thank you, Dawn. It's really a pleasure to be here. Really appreciate the opportunity. Alzheimer's disease is the third leading cause of death in Orange County today. It's a neurological brain disease, and it causes a degeneration of brain cells. We're not sure exactly what causes it, but we do know that the result of having Alzheimer's disease often looks like a buildup of certain proteins, the beta amyloid protein in the brain, that causes brain cells to die and degenerate. So that brain atrophy makes people unable to remember things, to reason, to do mathematical problems, to read maps and to navigate even in familiar areas. And sometimes they even forget how to recognize their loved ones after the disease has progressed for quite some time. It is a fatal brain disease. You die from Alzheimer's, and it's one of about 100 different forms of dementia that can afflict a person's brain.
And when a person is diagnosed with it, are they usually diagnosed when they've had it for a long period of time? Can anyone be diagnosed and they just got it?
It's really interesting. We, of course, want people to have as early detection and diagnosis as possible. The reality is most people don't get a good diagnosis until they've been exhibiting symptoms for about 4 years. So families are reluctant to say something to a loved one because they don't want to embarrass them or make them feel uncomfortable. What we're trying to do is raise awareness about how prevalent this disease is and make it so that people aren't afraid or make it so that it's not so stigmatized. It's not your fault if you get Alzheimer's or a related form of dementia, and the best thing people can do is get the earliest possible detection and diagnosis so that they can implement the treatments that are currently available and do all the things that will help keep the person as healthy as possible.
What is early detection?
Early detection is looking at symptoms, perhaps of memory loss, people who are missing appointments, are having trouble paying their bills. Maybe they're just not themselves. They're withdrawing from some of their social connections and favorite activities. That's the time when any of these symptoms are interfering with their regular daily living. It's the time to talk to a doctor to see what could be causing these problems, and perhaps it could be some sort of illness or other metabolic imbalance that is causing these symptoms that looks like early onset of Alzheimer's disease, when in fact it could be something reversible like low thyroid, a vitamin B12 deficiency. It could be anemia. It could be that somebody is chronically dehydrated or that they have kind of an under-the-radar urinary tract infection. Any of those kinds of things could cause someone to have a confused state that might look like an early stage of Alzheimer's type dementia. So we urge people to get to their doctor, to get a screening, to have the appropriate testing done so that we can rule out all of these other kinds of problems. And if it is in fact Alzheimer's type dementia or another one of the 100 kinds of dementia, we can initiate the right interventions so that people can get the maximum benefit.
Now, unfortunately, people do lose their memories in this whole process of Alzheimer's, and it's got to be very scary. Ben, can you share with us your program?
The beauty of art for people with dementia is that it gives us a way to make a connection with the individual. When the symptoms are often leading the individual to withdraw, it becomes really difficult to keep them engaged and to maintain a connection. So art is a way that we can learn about the individual. People often paint scenes from their memory, from their youth, and begin to tell stories that we wouldn't have heard if we hadn't engaged them in some kind of expressive art. So art stimulates the brain in ways that nothing else does. And so it gives people an opportunity to engage in a meaningful activity, for families to have a way to keep them content and involved. It's a great way for families to do something together. And people create art that is just amazing. And people who never had any art experience prior to their dementia, we've had people say, you know, I used to be an engineer, but now I'm an artist.
So memories in the making involves people creating art. And is it's people who have Alzheimer's and their families get to do it?
It can be families. It can be professional caregivers. In many cases, the program is set up and operated in memory care communities and adult day programs. Anywhere where we have people who can benefit from art and find an opportunity to express themselves, because we all need to express ourselves and make connections with other people.
Patty is nodding her head.
I am. Memories in the Making is such a wonderful program. It originated right here in Orange County, and it has now traveled to about 16 foreign countries and across the United States. And it gives people that opportunity to be facilitated into creating an art project, usually with watercolors. And we give them an inspiration, something to look at, and then help them either start painting the inspiration scene, or they sometimes will diverge, as Ben said, and bring up something from their past. And they tell us a story that perhaps no one in their family has ever heard before, about a fishing trip, or about a trip to the seaside, or about a lake or a river, or something that touched them deeply and has stayed with them in their long-term memory. It's beautiful.
Can it change the interaction between the family member and the person with the disease?
That's right. Finding ways to make connections as people's language abilities are declining is one of the most difficult things for families. So the expressive arts provide that. People begin to remember things and talk about things that they wouldn't be talking about otherwise. So whether it's family members or professional caregivers, the beauty of a connection with another person, we all need that connection, but it becomes more and more difficult as people's memory and language and thinking abilities are declining. So the art is, as Patty said, it's a beautiful thing. There's some beautiful creation. The work that many artists do, it just knocks my socks off. It's so wonderful. And every year we have art submitted to us, and we send some of those out to be framed, and then we have annual exhibits and we sell art. And you can imagine when an artist has created something that goes on display and gets sold, and just a feeling of accomplishment and the opportunity to contribute, because they're losing what they used to have. And art gives them something new, something satisfying, and enriches their lives, family members, caregivers, in any kind of setting.
And at South County Adult Day Services, we have program director with us, Julie Shaw. Can you share with us what goes on at your site?
Yes, certainly. Thank you for having me. At South County Adult Day Services, we're located in Laguna Woods. We are a day center for people that have dementia and Alzheimer's. We offer daily activities and socialization. We offer meals. We offer light breakfast, lunch, and a snack. We do offer Memories in the Making. We offer it twice per week. We have a lovely volunteer that comes in once a week, and then one of our staff members, our activity coordinator, recently completed the training that Ben conducted, and she's been offering that to additional participants. Along with Memories in the Making, we have many other activities. We have art and chat. We have many physical activities. We have a gym, an occupational therapy area at our center, and we work with a physical therapist and occupational therapist consultant. We have a staff of social workers that run Brain Buster groups, which are groups that are that work with brain games and working with participants to continue keeping up their mental stimulation. We also have sing-alongs. We have many different wonderful entertainers that come in throughout the week and conduct sing-alongs with our participants. We also offer meditation and yoga classes on a weekly basis. The list is sort of endless. We have dog therapy that comes in twice a month.
I'm sorry. Did you say what I thought you said?
Yes, dog therapy.
Elaborate.
So, yes, we partner with the Mariners Pet Therapy Program, and they're volunteers. They come in twice a week. Not always the same dogs that come in, but 2 to 3 dogs come in twice a month, and our participants absolutely love it. They are just wonderful. Many of the participants will just, spend some time with the dogs. The dogs like cuddles, and our staff like it as well.
And do you find that it's not so much a place where people look like they're ill, but a place that people are really active and participating and involved, as opposed to other kinds of places that may do similar things?
Absolutely. Our center is a very fun place to be. It's very lively. When you walk through the doors, you just feel the energy immediately. There's lots of things going on. We also have area of the center dedicated, our quiet room, for those folks who sometimes want to enjoy some more quiet time and just rest and enjoy the quiet. However, for the most part, we encourage our participants to participate in the variety of activities that we offer. It's a very, very fun place to be.
And do family members participate?
They certainly can. We do see a lot of our family members. Some of them bring and pick up their participants on a daily basis. But from time to time, we offer activities and invite the family members into the center. If it's a special holiday celebration or a special event, we certainly do encourage the family members to come. We also offer a monthly caregiver support group that is organized through Alzheimer's Orange County, and we have a facilitator that facilitates that each month. It is free of charge, and people outside of our organization can come in and bring their loved ones, and the day center will provide respite care for that individual.
And the key thing is you probably have people in different stages of Alzheimer's, because when you first get it, it's different than when you've had it for many years.
Yes, absolutely. So we follow person-centered care. So when each participant is enrolled in our program, our team of activity staff, social work staff, our nursing staff, as well as the consultants I mentioned earlier, physical and occupational therapy, meet with individuals to do assessments so that we're meeting the participant exactly where they are and providing the services that they need for the stage of life that they are in.
Now, Patty, there's many services that Alzheimer's Orange County offers. Can you go through some of the other ones?
Sure, but I want to just say that the adult day centers at South County Adult Day Services, and we also operate the center at Acacia in Garden Grove. They're for people who just shouldn't be home alone all day. Many of them have a dementia. Some do not, and they just are a little too frail and need medication management or a little bit of supervision, and it enables the family to go about their daily routines, maybe go to work or go to school, and we're giving their loved one a wonderful day experience. And in many of our activities, like our education programs, for example, families can come and receive evidence-based information that is going to not only help them understand what's happening with their loved one, but maybe give them some specific tools. We have classes that are on communication, dealing with the behaviors of dementia. We have classes that help families with their stress level. We have classes that help families understand the planning for the long-term journey and how it's important to have advanced healthcare directives in place. Legal workshops with bona fide elder law attorneys. We have classes that help families create really meaningful activities at home. One of the things that we have seen over the years is that many people with dementia sometimes are kept safe and warm and fed, but they're bored. And just because they have a cognitive disease doesn't mean that they stop needing to have really interesting and engaging activities. So we try to help families understand what to do at home. And certainly we're providing that professional level of training to caregivers in skilled nursing facilities, hospitals, assisted living, and memory care facilities as well.
In case you just joined us, you're listening to Collage, a public affairs show on jazz885.org. I'm Dawn Camber. Our guests are from Alzheimer's Orange County. We have Advocacy and Outreach Vice President Patty Mouton, Memories in the Making Coordinator Ben Allen, and South County Adult Day Services Program Director Julie Schock. What I'd like to understand, Patty, is the different levels of people who have Alzheimer's and how they can cope with the disease as well as their family members.
Sure. Alzheimer's is a long journey. It's sometimes referred to as a long goodbye. Many people, by the time they get their diagnosis, they are with us then for maybe 8 to 10 years after the diagnosis before the disease finally takes them. So there's many, many stages along the way. Different experts have categorized it in about 7 stages. And at each phase of this disease, people's needs and the appropriate kinds of interventions and activities and responses to what they need can be different. So we help family caregivers understand that, as well as professionals, nurses, social workers, certified nursing assistants, people that are caring for folks with a dementia. We help them understand that what happens at the very first stage of the disease may be very different than when someone has been ill for 6 or 8 years. And when people are first diagnosed, they need a lot of support and information. It can be depressing. So we have special groups facilitated by licensed clinical social workers that people who've had a diagnosis and their care partner, their spouse, or their loved one can come to these groups, have appropriate support, information, and then activities they can do together with people that are right in the same boat they're in to normalize what they're going through, to help them see that they're not alone in the process. And what we see from this is not only that people do better, the people with the disease kind of perk up and learn how to engage differently, but these folks who are in the same boat develop really strong friendships for the course of the disease and afterwards, so that people know maybe their social life is changing somewhat, but now they have folks who understand what they're going through, and they can go out for pie and coffee, they can go to the beach together, and they don't have to worry that someone won't understand the difficulties or the behaviors or the limitations that their loved one who has dementia might have.
Ben, in making memories, can you share with us what you've seen in different artwork in terms of the progression of the disease? Have you come across someone who has the disease and the artwork has changed so you can get an insight of what's going on in their mind?
Yes, thank you. It's very common for people to have a high degree of precision, and their work is clearly representing and describing a vision. And then as they continue to create and their disease progresses, their work becomes a little more abstract. We can still recognize what it is they're expressing. There's a scene that's quite clear, And then gradually becomes less clear to the point that it's very abstract. And we wouldn't know what it is that they're creating, except that often they'll give us a title to it. And one case I can comes to my mind is a piece that was very interesting but abstract. I had no idea what it was about. And then the artist said the title was Having Fun Down on the Bayou. You know, oh, this is something from their past. That being in that setting in the South was significant to them. And so that gives us an opening to talk with the individual and learn more about them. So it's making that connection with the artist and learning things that we just wouldn't otherwise.
Is it their short-term memory that they lose, or is it their long-term memory that they lose?
Yeah. Short-term memory is lost typically very early in the disease, followed by loss of language ability. Eventually, as the disease spreads through the brain, it'll impact long-term memory. But usually those long-term memories are retained very late in the disease. And even if the individual can't talk at all, they can still paint something that's coming from their long-term memory, from their childhood, from their early years, perhaps early in their marriage. One example that I think of in a center, artist kept painting the same scene over and over. It's clear what it was, but individual couldn't describe specifically what it was. And so the art facilitator, who's trained to create an environment where people feel free to express themselves and begin to talk, engage the artist in conversation as much as possible, she saw this work over and over, and then talked to the director of that center. And the director called family member and described, and the family said, oh, I know what that is. That's where my parents spent their honeymoon.
Wow.
That kind of memory comes out, and you just know this is a rich, strong memory that they're holding on to. They may have lost what happened in the last 2 minutes, but they can still remember their honeymoon, and they can still tell us about it through their art.
Now, Patty, when someone acknowledges that they have the disease and they realize what they're going to go through, will they go out of their way to try to have a lot of different kind of signs up and pictures up so that when they lose, you know, who they're talking to, they will have, if they have a visual, will that help them so that they can at least communicate?
Sure. A lot of families help their loved one who has a dementia diagnosis with labeling in the house. Knowing where the spoons go, knowing where the cups go. Sometimes families will have message boards that say, today is Thursday, and we're going to the doctor at 9, just to help orient the person and make them feel more safe and secure. Sometimes that confusion can be really unsettling, and if they have some benchmarks, it can help them. It's like a guidepost in the midst of the confusion. For some people, that stops working for them, but early in the disease, it can be very, very helpful and can help calm people down.
How long can people live with the disease?
Well, some people live quite a long time. I'm familiar with at least 3 families that we have helped, and the loved one lived from the time of diagnosis about 20 years. But the average is about 8 years from the time of diagnosis to when they are taken from us. So it's a fatal disease, but it affects people very, very individually.
South County Adult Day Services Program Director Julie Schock, can you share with us some of the things that you've noticed with some of the people who are helped in your program? The excitement of them being happy in the midst of this deadly disease.
Certainly. I think the major thing that I witness is just that people are happy to be there and they look forward to coming. It starts as soon as they get off the bus. We have transportation aides that meet them and walk them into the building. And just to see the smile on their face when someone greets them by their name in the morning, and then they come in through the lobby and our receptionist is there. And all the staff there make them feel very welcomed, and they're used to it. It's part of their schedule. They come in, they enjoy their breakfast, and it's very similar to high school. Everyone sits at the same table. They have their same group of friends, and just to see those interactions, they're very important, and I believe it enriches their lives. I often tell my staff that we are there to add value to their lives. Just because they have this diagnosis does not mean that, you know, their life is over and we just need to watch over them. They're here to enjoy a valuable experience. So we have to get to know them. And one of the great ways we do is through a program like Memories in the Making. So then we can learn about our participants and be able to engage with them in meaningful ways.
Speaking of Memories in the Making, Ben, have you seen people who've never touched a brush and they suddenly get involved in art, and then you can't stop them?
Absolutely. One example I think of, this individual create very vivid and energetic art that it was just delightful to see. And this is a person who had never done any art in his life. He'd been an athlete, been a football coach. And then after dementia, he got involved in Memories in the Making, start painting, creating these beautiful scenes. And he continues to paint. He's still doing work. We still see work come in that he's done. And it's changing as his disease is progressing. But you can just imagine, you can visualize how energizing, how satisfying that is to him.
Patty, people want to know funding. How are all the services funded?
Well, thank you for asking. We are a not-for-profit, and almost everything we do for families and people who are experiencing the disease and for the professionals that care for them, we do for free. We can do that because we raise money around the entire calendar year, but our biggest event of the year is the Walk for Owls. And this year there's going to be a Walk for Owls with a Run for Owls. So we'll have a 5K run, a registered 5K run on November the 9th. At Angel Stadium in Anaheim, and it's really a great day. It's a festival atmosphere. There's food, there's music, there's interesting people. We have different providers of services of all kinds, and many providers of senior services are there with interactive activities for the entire family, for the dogs, for the grandmas, for everybody. We encourage people to come out to form a team and to help us raise money because we're providing this service for people in Orange County, and every dollar that we raise stays right here locally for programs and services that are uniquely developed to serve the people of Orange County. So November the 9th, it's a Saturday at Angel Stadium in Anaheim. It's the Walk and the Run for Owls. And you can find out more about it on our website, which is www.alzoc.org. Or you can call the helpline at 844-HELP-OWLS, which translates to 844-435-7259, and we'll help you get organized with a team. We'll really just embrace you and get you engaged in all of the wonderful things that we do. And in the meantime, we're raising money for this marvelous work that we provide. Almost all of it is done for free.
Give us the website and the phone number again, please.
Sure. It's www.alzoc.org, and the helpline phone number is 844-435-7259, and that will get you connected into all of our programs and services.
Now, the helpline, you're going to talk to someone, right?
Absolutely. The helpline is staffed with master's level social workers. It can provide information. It can provide linkage and referral to community resources. It can help people that are just having a really tough day or a really tough episode with their loved one. It can get people engaged and connected to the different education offerings we have, our different programs. It can help people understand whether or not adult day health care is right for them. And sometimes people call and they say, well, I know I need to see a neurologist, but I don't know where to start. We can give them a referral to a qualified neurologist. We can give them a referral to a qualified neuropsychologist. We'll help them however they need.
You've been listening to Collage, a public affairs show on jazz88.5.org. I'm Dawn Camber. Our guests have been Alzheimer's Orange County. We had Advocacy and Outreach Vice President Patty Mouton, Memories in the Making Coordinator Ben Allen, and South County Adult Day Services Program Director Julie Schock. Please join us next time.